Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Howdy, third hour. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. Coming to you live, third hour, Quicken Loans Studio, national mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Big hour coming up. Get us on Twitter, Tiki and Tierney, 1-855-212-4227. At Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. All right, so some interesting stuff. Rajon Rondo spoke today. We'll get into the LeBron clank job last night. Clankaroo 1, Clankaroo 2, loss. Lakers are now 0-3 on the season. Luke Walton not happy. Disparity in free throw attempts. LeBron, for his part, has been... He was pretty measured post-game. He didn't really jump into that too much, although he was a little confused as to what you can and cannot get away with in the NBA now.
Yeah, I know.
But that, Luke Walton, I think Luke kind of needed to do that.
I think so. He had to.
Even if he's not right, which, by the way, I don't think that he is, I think he needed to do it for the aesthetics.
Yes, because we've had this conversation about whose team is this and whose team will it be going forward. I mean, he's LeBron. But he's not the coach like he was in Cleveland.
David Blatt and everybody else.
Exactly.
All right, so we're going to get to LeBron, really spend the meat of the conversation about LeBron. But how about this quote from Rajon Rondo? We said, let's see, this was just to ESPN. We don't have the audio. I guess this was before shoot around or right after, right before practice, whatever it was. He said, I'm only going to do this once, blah, blah, blah. Said that he had a mouthpiece in his mouth and he couldn't possibly have spit. And then he said, look at Gordon's reaction. Look at Carmelo's reaction. If I did spit in his face, they would have had a different reaction. All right. Then he says, this is a quote. I could too, maybe.
I can buy that, too.
Until you see the video.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now if I'm hearing that, it's all believable.
Well, I mean, it's not like.
Then you see the video.
It's not like he spit a gob of spit at him. It's just like spittle.
That was a sneaky little sneaky little snake spit like venom. Just dropped a little venom on him.
You never wore a mouthpiece because you played baseball.
No, I didn't. Although if I played baseball now, I would wear one. Cool, like, you know, just chewing on it. Yeah, I would do all that stuff. Yeah,
so
but no, I didn't.
I obviously wore a mouthpiece a lot, and it you can't talk with it in. It
gets but you wore a different mouthpiece. You wore the one that... No.
I wore the same kind that basketball players wear because I wanted people to see that I was smiling. So it was a clear... You couldn't tell. I had it in, which was great. I mean, you only wear a mouthpiece to prevent yourself from getting concussions. You bite down when you go into contact, supposedly.
Bite your lips.
Or bite your lips or whatever. It makes you tense your neck muscles, which protects your brain, your head from whipping back and forth, which in theory protects your brain. But I remember there were times where you'd blow, right? You're like, and it would just clear the spit out of your mouthpiece. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I felt like he was doing.
Well, you see it with boxers, like when Rocky sits on a stool and it just comes out like three different directions.
Exactly.
You're not giving Rondo a pass on this.
No, I'm not at all. But I can understand why his...
Theoretically,
I see his excuse making a little bit of sense.
I do too, theoretically. But now based on the visual evidence that have, do you believe him?
And the fact that it's Rondo, no.
Okay, I don't either. Although I didn't think he'd ever spit on somebody. That's next level stuff, as you and I talked about. But here's what he said. Quote, of course the NBA went with his side because I got three and he got two, Rondo told ESPN. Everybody wants to believe Chris Paul's a good guy. They don't know that he's a terrible teammate. They don't know how he treats people. Look what he did last year when he was in L.A. Try to get to the Clippers locker room. They don't want to believe he's capable of taunting and igniting incidents. So
why would they not want to believe that? Because he's a rep.
Well, that's I think that's part of it.
He's a veteran, been around for a long time.
Yeah,
he's LeBron's friend.
I don't know. Maybe he's just he's got a reputation that's fairly pristine. Although I think it's a little embellished. Trust me, I've been around the NBA long enough to know that he's a little dirty. I believe what Rondo said is accurate. A lot of his teammates don't love playing with him. He's very tough on teammates.
Yeah.
But in a very quiet, like sneaky way where he maintains that Q rating. But what Rondo says, there's a lot of truth in that.
Yeah, which is the key to the bad blood, right? It's why these type of things got a little out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
I could see CP3 being that way, because it's almost like he plays, even though he's great, yeah, he plays with a chip on his shoulder.
Sure.
Because he doesn't get the respect that all of his peers, who may or may not be better than him. Some of them obviously are better, LeBron, et cetera. But some of them may not be better than him, and they get more respect than he does.
Yeah, but he played that way even when he was with the Hornets.
True.
And before those reputations
True.
Were developed.
True.
He was always, and this is a compliment, he would have fit in the 80s. He's mm-hmm. got a little Isaiah Thomas in him. Set the pick, elbow up, mm-hmm. you know, John Stockton, elbow up, you know, slip the screen, elbow to the ribs. Like, Chris Paul plays with a ferociousness and a tenacity that has helped make him Chris Paul. There's no question.
Can't disagree with that.
Can't, I mean, he's a great player. Now, is he the ultimate winner? Well, he's got no championships. You can't say that. And he's very injury-prone. But Chris Paul's a great player. He and Rondo will never be close. They'll never resolve that. I just thought it was interesting that Rondo did circle back to that. He was asked about that at practice earlier today. So now we get to last night. So Luke Walton post-game. D-Cell, play this, and then we'll play LeBron. But first, Luke Walton, who was really ticked off the disparity in free throws. Now, the fouls, I believe that there was, I read this morning. I don't know, Teague, if you have it.
Yeah, I was just looking at it and I turned it up.
30 team fouls against the Lakers and 26 against the Spurs. Like, that was kind of close, but the disparity in free throw attempts was actually quite great. So whether or not Luke Walton's got a point, I don't know, but here's Luke Walton postgame.
70-something points in the paint to 50-something. Again, they outshoot us from the free throw line. 38 free throws. We are scoring 70 points a night in the paint. That we're putting pressure on Josh Hart. Watch how Josh Hart plays this game. He played 40 minutes tonight. All he does is attack the rim. Zero free throws tonight. Zero. I know they're young. I get that. But if we're going to play a certain way, let's not reward people for flopping 30 feet from the hole on plays that have nothing to do with that possession. They're just flopping just to see if they get a foul call. And then not reward players that are physically going to the basket and getting hit. It's not right.
How's that for data? How's that for data?
I mean, 38 to 26. That's what it is.
38-26.
38-26. That's a discrepancy. But given that, let's see, of 70 points, half of their points were scored in the paint, talking about the Lakers, then that's a big you can see why statistical analysis would say you shot a disproportionate lower number.
Yeah, I guess. I guess. 143 to 142.
Dude, they don't play defense in the NBA.
What is this, the Denver Nuggets in the 80s? Yeah, they used to score 150?
They talk about defense not being a point of emphasis in the National Football League.
Seems optional in the NBA, too.
It is definitely optional.
So far,
now, granted, this was an overtime game, so it wasn't like this was, you know. I hear you, but still, there's no defense. No defense at all.
No, there's not. Here's the big picture problem with the Lakers. They're 0-3, okay? LeBron James played 43 minutes mm-hmm. last night. I understand there's certain games where I think you should really push him.
Yeah.
And I think last night was one of them because a win was there.
Yeah.
You know, so you got to do what you got to do. You know, once you get to overtime, you're not going to sit LeBron.
No,
you know,
of course
so now
not.
you're gonna get north of 37, 38. You're going to get into the low 40s, and you just got to finish the job and hope that you get the win. He hit the big three. That was money. But, you know, these free throws, and it's a regular occurrence with LeBron James. And I got to reference, Sam to put this in our pack this morning, and it's tremendous. LeBron James, this is the headline of the article. LeBron James is the worst in the NBA at clutch free throws. Mm. That's the headline. You're like, wow, is this like an embellishment? No. According to ESPN stats and information, LeBron missed two free throws, 12 ticks last night in overtime. Lakers up one. In the final 15 seconds of the fourth quarter and or overtime, LeBron is 10 of 21, which is 48%, on free throws in one score game since the start of last season.
That's pretty bad.
It's not pretty bad. It's the worst free throw percentage of any player with at least 10 free throw attempts in those situations.
No, it's not his
strength.
It's
not pretty bad.
Yeah, it's
the worst.
It's horrible. It's not pretty. I mean, are you going to start hacking a LeBron at this point?
Hack a king.
Hack the king.
I'll tell you what.
Game's on the line. Hack the king.
You're saying that flippantly?
I am saying it flippantly.
I'll tell you what.
I
might start going to that well a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you what. Remember the last shot that he took from the left side?
Yeah. Yes. The one that
missed,
at the end of overtime that missed.
That missed. Yep. That game was over at that point. it hit, it was like front rim and to the right. It was off center to the right.
Yeah.
And I was watching some of the clips this morning, and there was a little bit of an opening for him to get to the rack. And we all know that he's strong enough once he determines, you know, he's going to put those shoulders down and he's going to plow forward. He's got enough dexterity and speed and body balance and strength to get to where he's going.
Yeah, but if you're LeBron,
I don't think you want to get on the free throw line.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
But if you're LeBron, what's the better shot to try to win a 40
for LeBron?
A 140? It's just hard to say the number. to win a 143, 142 game.
Yeah.
What's the best option there? Is it to ISO, which he was caught in an ISO, and cross the kid up for a second and then take that jump shot, which he usually can knock down, or drive to the lane, probably going right, because he was on the left side there.
Yep, he was on the left side.
Get help, and make a contested shot, or go to the free throw line. What's the better option, knowing that you're 50% from the free throw line at this point?
But that's my point. I believe that it's not that it's a predetermined. Oh God, I'm terrified to get to the free throw line. I'm going to do whatever I have to do to avoid. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's that pronounced. I'm not saying that.
Yeah, the antithesis of that is James Harden, who, given that same option, down one, is going to the hole 95% of the time.
I'll give you a great, I have not used a golfing analogy in a while, and this is going to be perfect.
It's because it's not golf season anymore.
It's always
for
golf
us.
Season. Tiger and Phil playing day after Thanksgiving. It's always
good.
It's always. I'll give you a great one because a lot of people can relate to this. You know when you're off the green and it's not in the rough, like it's maybe, it's a very tight line.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking
about. That's a scary shot.
It sucks.
Okay, you can easily blade it.
Yep.
You can scull it. All sorts of bad.
Right.
What you usually can't do is flop it in the air near the hole.
No.
Okay, at least we can. So a lot of times what you'll do is you'll say, let me just putt this, which sometimes makes sense.
Yes.
But that has infiltrated your game, and there are times where you need elevation and a putt won't suffice, but because you're scared of the skull job, you still putt it. So you're settling for a result that's about 70% of what you really need to do in theory.
Yeah.
Okay? And I believe that LeBron subscribed to that mindset last night.
Yeah, of course.
He took the worst option based on the fact that he does not want to stand at that free throw line 15 feet away with the game on the line.
But isn't some of this also the fact that he is 37 years old? He had played 40.
He's not 37, he's 33.
I mean, 33 years old. But he played 43 minutes at that point in the game, 42 and a half minutes, whatever it may have been. Yeah. Tired, fatigued,
well,
early
hey,
in the
you
season.
You might be right, Teague. You know what? He very well may have been tired, but if he's tired third game into the season.
But it's 43 minutes.
Of the first year, of the first 2 weeks, of the first year of the contract, bigger picture, problems. Which is why I've said from day one, he's going to win nothing with the Lakers. Mark this down. Nothing. No championships.
When do they get
zero.
When do they get their first win?
Probably pretty soon. I mean, I'm not going to disrespect him that much. I mean, but in terms of the balance of power and who he's playing with, and that they're still a year behind or maybe even two for some of these young players.
Yep, Suns next. Nuggets.
You know what? They could get caught up. The Suns are a bad matchup because the Suns are young and fast.
Suns are next. That's tomorrow night. Then the Nuggets.
Where is that game?
The Nuggets in Phoenix.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. Then they're home with the Nuggets at the Spurs.
Denver's very good.
Minnesota.
At the Spurs are tough.
At Minnesota
tough.
And they got the Mavs.
Doncic looked great last. My brother-in-law was texting me from Dallas last night. Oh, Doncic is going to be the next. I'm like, buddy. He compared him to Page. And he actually knows his sports. I've talked about Shane on the show before. Played soccer in college.
Yep.
Really knows his sports. Great sports guy and a great guy. But he's texting me about Doncic, and he's saying he's the next Page Stojakovic. I'm like, Page is one of the best shooters of all time. Doncic is a passer.
Yeah.
He's not a shooter. I'm like, Shane, hit reset.
He's a good facilitator. He's a good facilitator.
On your Mavericks. Yeah, he's a great. You see that pass, that one thing,
dude,
you made that up and under, and that wraparound?
And we talked about this last week. For a guy who's not athletically imposing,
no.
You don't look at him and go, man, this dude's going to blow by me and dunk on me.
No, like, you don't think that at all.
Do
you think that because he's white or?
No, just his body type, right? He's not fast twitch at all.
No.
But he's effective. He's really efficient.
He reminds me of a modernized version of Tony Kukoc. Because Tony has had great from Croatia, court sense.
That's an interesting comparison.
I think Doncic could be a little bit strong. Is a little bit stronger at this age. Probably will be a better defender. Maybe Kukoc, better shooter. But there's some similarities between Kukoc and Doncic. But LeBron's 0-3. I mean, 55 wins, Western Conference Finals. Not happening.
No. First win at home against the Nuggets.
They're not beating the Denver Nuggets.
I'm asking.
No. If they don't beat Phoenix tomorrow night, 50-50 they do, because the Suns could run them out of the gym with Booker. Mm-hmm. Ariza's on that team. They picked up Jamal Crawford. They got all those young bucks.
Yep.
DeAndre
Ayton
had a great game the other night. I'm going to say that they're going to be... Ingram's not playing tomorrow night. They're going to lose that game. Hmm. They're going to lose to Phoenix.
No, wait. Spellman's on the Hawks. I don't know what I'm thinking.
Amari Spellman's on Atlanta. He played well, too.
Yeah.
Amari's looking pretty good. They're going to lose at Phoenix. They're going to lose to Denver at home on Thursday, back-to-back.
Lose to the Spurs.
No. I could actually see them maybe winning in San Antonio. And if they don't win that game, they'll start the season 1-7 or 1-8.
Wow. That's... No.
He doesn't look like he did when he was 27 or... Started to look a little older. You watch LeBron try to get to the hole?
Not the same.
Not the same burst. Maybe he regains it. Maybe it's early, but 0-3. All right, T, coming up, Reality Check Tuesday. And by the way, let's get our answer coming up. Did the Birdman pay off his little, it wasn't a bet, but his little dare? Did the Birdman pay off his little dare for Tiki and Tierney? See if he came to the table. See if he came correct, which he usually does. We'll get to that as well. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Are you ready for the cold months ahead?
No.
Winter months can present many challenges for your vehicle. There are lots of things to do when winterizing your car. Do you have enough antifreeze? Check. Tire pressure? Check. Wiper blades and fluids? Check. Heaters and defrosters working properly? Check. Do you have emergency road supplies? Also check. You should also get lubricants ready for latches, hinges, door locks, and weather stripping. What's the one thing you don't want to forget? Your battery. Very cold vehicles can reduce battery power by up to 50%. And when it's cold, your engine needs more current from the battery to get started. Remember, car batteries give very little notice before they die, and one out of four batteries will fail this winter. That is a given. Make sure it's not yours. Get yours tested for free during Superstart Battery Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If it needs to be replaced, O'Reilly has a Superstart battery for you. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices, every day.
Okay, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Hey, everybody, quick way to save money, switch to Geico. Whether it's homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurers, you could get it all on geico.com. Now, what's happening? Good Tuesday to you, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Series XM 206. On Twitter, Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. Get us if you want to get at us. All right, so, Tiki, we'll get to Reality Check here in a moment. It is still a Reality Check Tuesday, but I want to throw this poll question at you, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Let it marinate, and then I want us to circle back to it and actually answer it.
Okay,
all right? So this is on Tiki and Tierney. Go give it a vote. Right now, the results are overwhelmingly in the wrong direction, at least how I see it. I'm surprised by the – actually, I'm not surprised – but I do disagree. With the Dodgers beginning World Series play tonight in Boston and the Lakers off to an 0-3 start, the guys want to know, is there more pressure on Kershaw to deliver a title to the Dodgers or LeBron a playoff appearance in year one with the Lakers? Kershaw's one option, King James the other option. Right now, 74% of you saying Clayton Kershaw compared to 26% to King James. And I could tell by that, that you disagree.
I'll save it.
All right, good. We'll get to it after Reality Check. Let's roll.
This is reality.
Now.
Reality hit you hard, bro.
It has been given to us.
It's just a reality check. Reality.
This is a reality check.
Dead on balls accurate.
I think the most accurate thing after this past, really, couple of weeks down in Miami, BT, is that Ryan Tannehill... it's done. It's a quarterback. I think one, he's have injury issues, and he's starting to get that bad cell mantra in my mind. Can't stay healthy. You're not even really sure what it is right now. It's obviously his shoulder, but he's this will be his fourth week now that he's been down. And not that Brock Osweiler is the savior of the Miami Dolphins, but he's actually played pretty well. Ryan Tannehill and his starts this season, 194 yards per game. Brock Osweiler, 310. And why? Brock Osweiler was at his best when Adam Gase was his coordinator back in Denver. Once Adam Gase left and went to Chicago, Brock Osweiler started making bad decisions and going to Houston and fallen out of favor.
But
in
got
that
paid.
Sort of
it wasn't that bad of a
decision. Oh, he got paid. No, no, more power to him. You know, hell yeah, being a tall white quarterback in the National Football League.
Yeah, Mike Lennon got paid.
Yeah, I'm telling you, right?
Those tall white guys do get paid.
I'm just saying like it is,
that's
bro.
That's true.
I'm saying
that
like
is true.
It is. But I think that the Miami Dolphins will be in the market for a quarterback come draft 2019. No doubt about it.
Maybe make a trade for Derek Carr?
Maybe. I mean, Tyrod. There's options out there. I don't think they'll make a trade, though.
Okay.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
There's a new aggressiveness in offensive coordinators that we've seen over the last couple of years, BT, right? Mm-hmm. Going forward on fourth down, going, you know what? We're going to win this game. What is Raiders, right? Game one, 2 years ago, three years ago?
I think that was his first game.
It was.
In New Orleans, he went for two.
Yep, went for two.
Yeah,
right? Aggressiveness. It started a little bit
then
before. Analytics have become a big part of this. Certain guys can get away with it. Sean Payton went for it four times on fourth down on their first drive, BT.
I know.
This past weekend. And you know what? It failed. It didn't work. But he and his team is good enough to overcome it. The not reality is it not all of this aggressive going for it, being, you know, smart on fourth down, going for two is smart for all teams. Mike Vrabel is the perfect example. Going for 2 points in London as opposed to going for the tie and win it in overtime. Sometimes you outthink yourself. Just because everybody else is doing it doesn't mean that you should.
Dead on balls accurate.
You mean you didn't like Shermer going for two last night? I mean, what are you doing?
Statistically, it's
the right
call.
I know what it says. 50%.
I agree.
So there's some analytics that can back that up. But his response to the postgame press conference initially was bad. He's like, I want to be aggressive for my guys.
Yeah.
Then he backed it up with the math. He probably should have inverted that.
Yep.
Although it is actually somewhat statistically favorable, even though they didn't. I was going to catch that ball.
It was a pretty good defensive play. It doesn't
got
look
a little
like
hand
it.
On at the end a little bit.
He just tipped it a little bit. Askew. That's all it takes sometimes.
Yep. All right.
It was.
Go ahead.
I hate to go here.
No, go ahead, man.
The pass didn't have enough velocity. It floated. That's the hardest catch in the world, BT. When a ball is floating to
you. When you're waiting for it.
As opposed to sticking to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you almost can't catch a ball that's fired at you. That's why John Elway.
You can't drop a ball when it's fired at
you. When it's fired at you.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, it's there.
Yeah.
But when it's, like, just floating, you're like, come on, come. And then.
We know how it worked out. My reality. Well, first I want to mention a couple of the teams in the NFL. And, you know, just nod along if you're in the car right now, as you're driving along, whatever. Not along. I ripped through a couple teams in the NFC. You tell me if you think these teams are any good. In terms of big picture, good. Dallas, the Giants. Well, we'll see about Amari Cooper. But Dallas right now, the Giants, the Detroit Lions, even the Bears, probably a year away from full-time viability. The Buccaneers, the Falcons are sub-500. Seattle's going nowhere this year. Cardinals are terrible. Niners are rebuilding. We all know that. So I say this because the Redskins are a legit factor in the NFC.
No, you're right.
And people need to realize this. Listen. They're not very pretty putting the ball in the end zone. They're like 25th or 26th
but
in points
Alex
per game.
Smith, so what did you expect?
Well, I expected a little more efficiency because he's been a little less accurate.
Yeah,
you know,
usually
he's like 70% and very few picks. The number's more like 64%. Then he's got like, I think, 6 picks so far. But that actually makes me feel good saying that they could even get better because as the weather gets worse and their defense continues to tighten up, they have a top 7 defense both in points per game allowed and total yardage. Their front 7's pretty good.
Yeah, they are.
You know, I mean, then you look at their division, the Eagles. All right, listen, coming off a tough loss against the Panthers. We know that. Defending champions, plenty of respect. But do they strike everybody as the same team from a year ago? No, not yet. Not yet.
Close.
The Giants are a disaster. And the Cowboys, first of all, even if the Cowboys are better than their 3-4 record indicates, or they might be, Redskins just beat them. So they've got the head-to-head advantage there. So I'm not going to make book tickets for the Redskins via charter to go down to Atlanta to meet us there for the Super Bowl yet. But I'm just saying, as you factor in all the teams in the NFC that you think can make a move, start throwing the Redskins in there. Show a little respect. Put a little respect on my name.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
All right, the truth about the Browns, and let's face it, it was a cute story when they came out and they were very competitive and they had a couple ties, and it seemed like 5 weeks in a row they were kind of morphing into America's team where you had to flip on the red zone and see another crazy finish, errant kicks, crazy plays. I'm not going to say that they're back to being the Browns. I'm not implying that at all. I know that their roster is infinitely better than it's been. And they've got their quarterback of the future. And they've got their GM of the future. And they've got a great young shutdown corner in Denzel Ward. They've got some nice, interesting pieces. But the enthusiasm that was building, that Thursday night win, crack open the Bud Lights, Baker comes off the bench for Tyrod, they beat the Jets, here we go, yay, yay, yay. It's back to, again, a little reality that this team, in my opinion, with all due respect, will not take that step forward until they find a better head coach. So the reality is that, or the non-reality for the Browns, is that Hugh Jackson is not the guy, which is not exactly splitting atoms when you start 1-32. But there was an uptick in enthusiasm for the job he was doing. I think he's kind of reverting back to kind of who he is as a head coach. This is the reality. Okay, coming up next here on Tiki and Tierney, we got the blast. Also, let's circle back and have that conversation about Kershaw and LeBron. Mm-hmm. It seems incredibly one-sided, but it's interesting when you parse through it and attack it layer by layer, which we will after the update from Darwin Zook. Here he is. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Time for the Player of the Week, brought to you by Grainger. We take a look at the one who's getting it done. And so far, DeMar DeRozan fitting in nicely with the Spurs' new duds and his new teammates. First week of the season, DeRozan pumping in nearly 30 a night, 29, 9 rebounds and 5 assists, 32 and 14 dimes in the win against the Lakers last night. So San Antonio 2-1 on the season, and the Raptors 4-0. So far, early returns for the Kawhi Leonard, DeMar DeRozan swap. Both teams make it out pretty well. Yeah. Raps are 4-0, although Kawhi did sit one of those games, but still,
yeah.
Raps are 4-0.
No, I think it's good for DeMar DeRozan. New change of scene, a change of scenery, and I think a better
coach. Even though he had a good coach, the best coach.
Yeah, he's got a great coach, and he's got less, I don't know, there was something that's like dragged up there in Portland.
It's called LeBron bumping him out Toronto. Of the playoffs every year.
Yeah, in Toronto. Something dragged on him up there. Yeah, whatever it was.
Yeah, well, listen, he's looking good. Player of the Week brought to you by Grainger. Granger's got your back when it comes to the safety and industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it at Grainger.com. So we've got the blast here, quiet NBA night, just a couple of games. Obviously, World Series Game 1, Kershaw on sale, and it's in Fenway. It's crazy, too, because we start our show at 3 Eastern, right after Jim Rome.
Mm-hmm.
And since Romy is out west, the studio was empty outside of the updates. And, you know, I'm usually sitting here. Teak is usually out there. And I noticed 2:31 or 2:32, something like that. Looked over to the TVs, which are to our right in our studio, and one of which is, you know, us on the TV, and just so we can kind of know what's going on, not so we can stare at ourselves like weirdos. And then below it, we've got games, whatever's going on. I think we had FS1 or something. We have CBS HQ, of course, all the time. And I saw Clayton Kershaw throw into the bullpen at Fenway Park at 2:31 in the afternoon.
Wow.
And he was going through.
First pitch is 8:09?
Yeah. And they've got to do the whole pregame, the intro, everybody. You know, of course, they're going to mislead you. Hey, first, you know, game starts at 7:30. No, it doesn't.
No.
Put your TV on and we'll wrap you in for 45 minutes additionally. We know how it works by now. We're not dumb.
8:09.
But he was going through these simulations. Like, he didn't have a ball, but he had his glove and he had shorts on. And he was going through a full, like, repertoire. You could tell him, like, you could see a snap of a curve. You could see
his footwork. Didn't have a ball in his hand.
Didn't have a ball. Now, he may have moved on
up later.
To a ball.
I got you.
But that just struck me as incredibly early and just very a long time to be that engaged that in the moment, that immersed in your job burning out.
I would assume that he's trying to, because we mentioned this with Ryan Dempster, he's unfamiliar with that park, that ballpark. He's never played at Fenway, which is crazy to think about. He's never played there.
Yeah, just going to do the interleague, he didn't pitch.
No, and so he's probably trying to get a visualization of what his game is going to look like. Because a lot of guys do that. Like, that's how they mentally prepare. I mean, physically being prepared is one thing, but they also have to mentally prepare themselves, especially if it's not something that they can snap a memory from. You know, it's like, oh, I pitched here in whatever, 2015,
yep.
Right? And I can harken back to that. He's probably just visualizing.
Almost like a shadow boxer.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, all right.
Or like Drew
Saves
Brees.
Some energy.
Or like Drew Brees.
Drew Brees does that all the time. Drew Brees does. Even Odell was doing it last night.
Yeah,
although he was probably just trying to ham it up for the cameras.
No,
but he was doing something.
He definitely
like that.
Was. But Drew Brees will go through every drop back without a football, by the way. And every read without a football. He just visualizes it before games. He does it before every game.
I know.
So maybe that's what he's doing.
Okay. Very interesting to see somebody that great, that involved in their craft. That's, you know, listen, you don't stumble upon greatness. You might stumble upon it for a moment,
yeah.
But to sustain it, you've got to. I don't care how much natural talent you have, and
you're
you know
right.
this, You got to keep going. Mm-hmm. You got to keep reinventing yourself. You got to take care of your body, stay a step ahead mentally and all that stuff. All right, so the question pertaining to our poll question, or at least the thought and the conversation that can come from that, it seems on the surface really like a dumb question. I'll be the first to admit it. It sounds dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Who's got more pressure? Kershaw to win the World Series, which is the pinnacle of his sport, or LeBron to merely get the Lakers to the playoffs,
yep,
in his first year with the Lakers?
Yeah.
My answer, by the way, with no hesitation, is LeBron James.
Well, I think...
No hesitation.
If you think through it, it can only be LeBron James. Because Clayton Kershaw could go pitch three amazing games, and they still lose.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's almost like he just has to pitch great,
mm-hmm,
so he can win the outings that he's given the ball in.
Mm-hmm.
Could be three. Probably won't be. Could be three. It depends on how the series plays itself out. Whereas LeBron, I mean, even if realistically, and we believe this, there's not a chance that he's going to turn this team around quickly or before he starts to get too busy doing other things. Friday the 13th.
I saw that. He's going to remake Friday the 13th?
It's like his third or fourth movie project. He's only been there for, 6 months?
So he's not original either. He's doing like everybody else is doing, getting paid to remake movies.
I know. And he's
got Crystal Lake. I loved it, but you can't come up with something better than that. I mean, that was great in the 80s, but come on.
No, exactly.
Michael Myers,
I don't know how you make it relevant.
Jason.
How you make that relevant to 2018? Or 19, whatever it's gonna.
I don't know. I've seen every one of those. I've even seen Freddy versus Jason.
And they got worse as
I think on a different planet.
And they got crazy. Worse as they got as they went on.
Yeah, Freddy. I've seen Jason Takes Manhattan, mm-hmm, which is like part eight. Like I used to love those. Like I seriously used to, because a quick aside, when we finally got HBO, when we could finally afford HBO, those were the first movies that were really on that I can sneak.
Mm-hmm.
Where you get a little action, you know, because like 12-year-old, you want to slip something on that's rated R, and mommy and daddy aren't watching. Hey, Friday the 13th, we'll watch that.
Just watching a horror movie.
Yeah, just watching a couple of kids going to the cabin, having a few beers, and having fun, you know? But those were scary.
I know.
But come on, LeBron, you're going to remake Friday the 13th.
You know what the problem is? And this is, again, it's still an aside. The cinematography, how they film it, is too crisp now. So
you think the graininess added to the intrigue?
No doubt.
I don't disagree with that.
You couldn't see anything.
I don't disagree with that.
It was intriguing because, what is that?
Yeah.
Now it's clear as day.
Yeah. He's right there. Don't go. There's that tree. Don't go there.
Exactly.
Yeah, I can see his mask.
Exactly.
It's radiating off the moon. Make a U-turn. He's gonna snap your neck off with a machete. Go the other way. I mean, come on.
So it's LeBron. It's LeBron.
I agree, but 80% of the people who voted, they're saying Kershaw.
It can't be Kershaw.
I'm in the Kershaw bandwagon 100%.
But
in
this regard,
yeah. So the reason is, the Lakers have multiple championships this century,
mm-hmm,
right? They've been to the playoffs 4 or 5 years ago.
Missed
they've had some down years.
5 straight years they missed it.
5 straight years. The Dodgers have 31 years of no championship,
uh-huh,
right? 31 years of no championship is significantly more than 4.5 years of no playoffs, right? So the Dodgers are starving
more.
He's
missing the main point, by the way.
Yeah.
Can I tell you what the main point is that you're missing? Who's more important to L.A., the Dodgers or the Lakers?
Well, the Lakers for sure. But at the end of the day, if the expectations for LeBron heading into this season were not – they're not going to win a championship. We all said 6 seed, 5 seed, 7 seed,
well,
somewhere around there.
Said that. Not everybody said that.
Right.
We all said that.
Right, but a lot of people were kind of, 5, 6, 7, maybe 8 seed.
All right.
Some people even said maybe they missed the playoffs, so the expectations were low to begin with.
Yeah.
Expectations were low to begin with. The Dodgers went to the World Series last year.
Yep.
Kershaw has his legacy on the line. He has failed over and over and over in the playoffs. If he comes out and lays eggs
last year,
sure. But if he comes out and continues to lay eggs in the World Series,
he was fantastic last year,
right? But there's still the narrative.
If it wasn't for you, Darvish.
But there's still the narrative there with Kershaw that he has things to prove. LeBron has what?
He has a lot to prove.
Multiple
in LA.
Championships, 7 straight finals.
Yeah, but that means nothing for the Lakers. Mike, that means nothing for the Lakers.
Does that mean anything to Lakers
Zero.
Fans? They don't care about LeBron.
You were already getting tweets about Kobe last night. Kobe would have hit those 2 free throws.
By the way,
was all over Twitter last night.
Did you see
2 free throws in October?
I forgot who it was. I was looking at it earlier.
Come on, Mike.
Somebody did a an actual info on Kobe in these type of situations. Oh, he would never miss. He actually missed a lot in these game situations.
We always tend to romanticize.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody missed.
2011, 2002, uh-huh. Finals with the Lakers up by four. He missed two free throws. I mean, there's tons of them that they just take through, even though people were like, this was on SB Nation. Everybody's like, Kobe would never miss those. Yeah, he would. He did a lot, actually. Yeah,
everybody has.
Of course.
Jeff Jordan.
Of course.
Yeah, I'm sure Jordan. Jordan never missed any. Starting in North Carolina as a freshman, the jump shot.
Yeah, but the point was LeBron is the worst in the league over the last 2 years.
ESPN.
Really bad for
this.
A guy who's.
Yeah. Let me see. Again, it's a small sample. LeBron is 10 for 21, 48% on free throws in one score games since the start of last season. It's the worst free throw percentage of any player with at least 10. Again, small sample.
Yeah.
So they define clutch in the final 15 seconds of a fourth quarter or overtime
situation.
I'd
like to see that whole
dead
list.
Last.
Because how do you, I mean, that's a lot of, not a lot of people are going to have that many opportunities.
But it doesn't matter. I mean, even if he was like 73%, which stinks in the mind, I mean, or like 74. He's got five. It's like a batter with five different batting stances.
Yeah.
I don't know how you get comfortable.
Yeah, he can't. Which is the point. And then he misses the game winning
shot. Right,
it was
front,
long.
Right.
No, it was long. When you look at it,
I thought that was a little front.
It looks like it's front, but I think it hits the back rim.
Did it?
Yeah.
I'd like to see that again. It may have been. It definitely clanked to the right.
Yeah. Here's a question. Because you just said something interesting, BT. You said that the Lakers are more important to LA.
Oh.
Than the Dodgers.
Yes.
Times
100.
I don't disagree, especially right now, especially with LeBron.
And with Kareem.
Yes.
And with Kobe and Shaq.
Oh, the history.
Yeah.
And
with Jerry West.
In 5 years, forget the history. What's the biggest sport in L.A.?
Oh, in 5 years?
In 5 years. So it's past LeBron. Now he's like
good
really
question.
Making movies. And it's all these young kids who are supposed to be the man. On the Lakers. The Dodgers, I'm sure, will find ways to keep spending $250 million dollars and be relevant. But the Rams.
It's not going to be the Rams if that's
but
it's
the Rams.
Still, it's going to always be the Lakers. It's ingrained in the DNA.
Even if the Rams, say, win a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Look at the Lakers. Five straight years, no playoffs. And look at the energy around the Lakers now. I mean, not that you judge everything on SportsCenter, but I mean, SportsCenter's leading. Forget about the Giants and the Falcons. Dealing with LeBron.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's...
Good point.
It's LeBron. Good question, though.
Yeah.
I know where you're going with that. I would still say
I think
the
Rams are going to get really good.
I do, too.
And they have a shot to win a Super Bowl in the next couple of years.
I'm not disagreeing with that at all. But just in the pecking order of relevance, I just think they're always fighting for number two. Because when the Lakers are dynamic, that energy supersedes everything. When the Lakers are not dynamic... The energy to become dynamic, it supersedes everything.
Yeah.
The quest, our next star, and they always get another star.
And the problem,
they always get one.
I think the problem,
Kareem,
the big problem
Jack,
with the NFL, with the Rams, or the Chargers, whichever one, as soon as they go irrelevant, people are just going to stop caring. They're going to go back to college football. And that's the other thing you don't even think about. College football takes a big chunk of that football fan base in Los Angeles.
Yeah, but Chip Kelly better get things going. Otherwise, chunk's not going to get taken at all.
But I mean, historically, it's USC.
Yeah, I know.
You just watch football.
It's a third pro team.
They're more popular
than the Chargers.
Oh, no doubt.
Times a significant amount.
At least double on every weekend.
Are they still more popular than the Rams? That's a question I would like a real answer to. That's obviously a shifting...
Are the Trojans more popular than the Rams?
This year, I might say no. Trojans are down. Rams are up. Rams score 40 points a week. I would say no, but I don't have the metrics to back that up.
Yeah, it would have to be anecdotal at this point.
Yep. I got something for you. So I don't know if he did it, but so we have Ian Eagle on once a week here on Tiki and Tierney, Ford F-150. Set it up. He's awesome. And what's that about, Mike? Okay, now he's like a coordinator. You want me to call timeout? What are you doing? So we challenged Ian to find a way to weave Tiki and Tierney into the broadcast, playing the Bears and the Pats, and our moles tell us that he actually did. Let's see if this came to fruition.
Now, there were concerns this week if Khalil Mack would be able to go because of that ankle injury. Finally practiced on Friday. And comparisons also this week popping up. I was on the Tiki and Tierney show on CBS Sports Radio, and the LT Mack comparisons. Brady throws to the sideline. It's caught by Dorsett, and he ducks out of bounds. What'd you think of those comments that were tossed out there?
I kind of agreed with that.
<just kidding. laughs> First of all, he's the best. Here's the challenge, and I'm going to try to do this every week. I'm going to try to get him to plant our name every broadcast. Just our little thing. Just weave it in. He's so good at his job.
Just to make it a toss-off.
Yeah, and Fouts can react to anything. He's been in the booth for a long time. Their energy, their synergy, and their you know, compatibility is great. They can play off each other no matter what. That is the challenge for the rest of the year. Well, Ian is one for one, and that's a very nice job. I'm going to try to make that happen.
See, now
every
we have
single
the, now the
week.
Challenge is we got to create something interesting that he can
absolutely
bring to the air.
Well, that's on us. That's on us, and the other part's on him.
All right.
But so far, no surprise. Birdman delivered.
He's the man.
It's what he does.
He really is. He's great at what he does.
I believe that this is an uncharacteristically high-scoring game tonight, given the starting pitchers. 6-5-ish? 5-4-ish? Something like that?
I don't think
either one gets rocked.
No idea, but I can't wait to watch.
But I don't think either pitch great. Should be fun, though. We'll see you tomorrow. Peace.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.